Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome tonight to Sister Empowering Sisters. I am your host, Lady Renee. Tonight I will begin a segment titled Relationship Thursdays. During this show, I will be discussing relationships God's way, and I will have a very special guest with me tonight, Brother Stephen James. He will be joining me tonight, and we will be talking about relationships God's way. Now, first, I would like to have you all join with me in welcoming Brother Stephen James. Brother Stephen James?
Yes.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I wanted to get into talking about relationships God's way, but first, I would really like it if we could just have a word of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank and praise you for this day in which you have made, oh God. Father, we thank you for this opportunity and we ask that you prepare the hearts and minds of those that will listen to this segment tonight, Father. We ask that you would have your way, that your Holy Spirit would just have his way in our lives today, that you would talk through us, that you would just use us, and as a result that we would even learn as you speak through us. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. We take authority over all demonic forces, any hindering spirit that would try to hinder this segment from taking place tonight or interfering with the hearts and the minds of the people from receiving right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for just saturating these airways right now. We just cover these airways with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Brother Steve.
Yes.
One of the things that that I was really wanting to bring out tonight is, you know, kind of more so talking about what I mean by relationships God's way. And one of the things that I thought about is first is that, you know, the relationships that they truly serve a purpose, you know, serve his purpose, you know, where both individuals involved are actually strengthened and brought closer to God as a result of that connection. Now, do you have anything that you could state concerning that?
Well, not really, not at this time. Just basically that, again, Christian relationships is not just between a man and a woman. A Christian relationship really pertains to the church as a body of Christ and our unity with one another, our ability to get along with one another. Because how can you say that you have fellowship with a sister or a brother, you know, a male-female relationship, when you can't have relationships in the church? And there's a lot of conflict and bickering and fighting in the church. So therefore, it's not just a male-female type thing. It's something that we all have to learn how to get along, brother with brother, sisters with sisters.
Exactly, exactly. But, okay, and I think that you made a very valuable point. And for the sake of this show, because basically this show is more geared tonight toward talking about relationships God's way with couples. You understand relationships that are purpose actually toward marriage. And I kind of want to talk about that a little bit, you know, as far as getting more depth. And we understand that the foundation before we could have any kind of other relationship, that our relationship with God first has to be intact. And that's basically what you're saying. Because if the relationship with God is not intact, then you're not going to know how to rightly relate to your brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it is a romantic relationship or just a relationship that we're in Christ, we're part of the same body. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And another thing that I wanted to bring out is that, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, the purpose that the relationships serve, you know, that they're designed to bring the people involved closer to God, that God would get glory. And we know that just like anything, when we were working on the series, Cultivating a Healthy Relationship, we stated how, you know, the relationships will go through storms, but if the foundation is right, meaning that it's founded on the Word of God, we know that it will be able to weather the storms. So I wanted to talk about some of the things that, you know, that strengthen the relationships. Like, for example, say forgiveness, for example. How important do you see that in cultivating a healthy relationship?
Well, forgiveness is important, definitely. Forgiveness is as far as knowing that, well, that being able to relate to that person, allowing them to be human and to make mistakes. Because by not forgiving, you're holding them constantly accountable for what they've done. And if God has forgiven us, then we are supposed to forgive our brothers and sisters. And
yes,
it's an extra when we fail to do that, we burden ourselves down. We hold ourselves as a judge over that person, and we are actually condemning ourselves. So not only do we not allow the person to grow and to develop, we're holding back our own spiritual growth because we can't be blessed when we choose not to forgive.
And that is so very, very, very important, and that's so right, because what I found is that oftentimes, right, and you also can actually hinder the person because we set up these judgments and we won't let the person actually move past the judgments that we set. So they can't, it's kind of like a self-fulfilled prophecy. We've already made up in our mind, oh, they're going to disappoint us, they're going to fall short. You know, it's kind of like we have that embedded in us so deeply a lot of times once we've been hurt that if we're not able to move past that, so that relationship stops being fruitful. And as we begin to, and I believe that that is one of the major problems in our relationships in the body of Christ between husband and wife, and even people that have the potential to go toward being married, is unforgiveness. So my thing is that because I found that to be one of, you know, the core things, okay, how can people move past that unforgiveness? Do you think that they need to first look at themselves and realize how much mercy that they need? Or do you think that they could maybe try to put themselves in that person's situation, in that person's shoes, to be able to see how that could have happened?
Well, I really think forgiveness comes from a person wanting to have power or control over another person. That's why I really believe unforgiveness really takes its root. Because when you choose to forgive a person, you have some, you have a false sense of power over that person. In other words, I have something on you, and that makes me feel like I have the upper hand, so I can keep condemning you, and then you keep apologizing to me, making me feel like, you know, I'm some kind of god or something like that. So I think a lot of times when you fail to forgive, it's because you have that power, and you don't want to give up that power. Now, giving up that power and forgiving that person, you're making yourself vulnerable to be hurt again. But then that shows where your trust is. It's your trust in the person, or is your trust in Christ? Because how can we be ministers to one another? How can we serve or relate to one another in a relationship? Because you got to remember, a relationship is all about the other person. A relationship is not about having my needs fulfilled.
Right.
It's primarily about me being able to meet that other person's need. So therefore, if I'm insecure, I'm going to go into a relationship wanting my needs met, which is, again, a power situation. If I'm coming in to see what I can get, I want this, it's all about me. So therefore, if I take that stand, when you do something wrong, that means you violated me.
I
allow myself to be vulnerable to you. Now, in order to keep myself from being vulnerable, I'm going to stay in that position of power by constantly holding this over your head, holding you accountable for this thing.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, what I'm supposed to be doing is trusting God in order to forgive you, just like God forgave me. And even though he knew I would do it properly again, he knew what I was going to do, he still allowed me to have that forgiveness. So therefore, we are to put our trust in God and forgive the other person. And learn that we're not the authority on this. We're not gods. We are servants. And that's what a relationship is. I'm serving the woman, and the woman is serving me. Now, if I'm in it just to serve myself, then it's not going to be a healthy relationship, because my needs need to be met in Christ first. And
amen.
Then I can be strengthened to be able to meet the other person's needs.
Exactly. And I see that what I realize is that in order to come into the relationship and take that kind of stance, that kind of position, you yourself need to be able to be walking in that unconditional love, you know. And like you said, like basically kind of like extending the grace, knowing that no one is perfect, and understanding that when we forgive, we cause the enemy to lose his power and his hold over our lives as well as over the other person's lives, and we open a door for yet a relationship that could be really beautiful to really bud and flourish. Because I know for myself that, you know, if you're holding a person hostage, you know, and you have yourself all bound up where, oh, no, I can't let my guard down, and I can't do this and I can't do that because this person is liable to do this instead of trusting God, then what happens is you're really not living and you're really not having a relationship. Everything is kind of like robotic. Instead of like just going with the flow of the Spirit of God, we're still trying to be, like you said, in control, you know. And, I mean, it takes the everything out of the relationship. One of the things, God wants us to be vulnerable, but I believe that he wants us to choose, you know, wisely as to who we open ourselves up to, and that we understand purpose. Like, does this person serve a purpose? And if they don't, then we know off the bat that we should not be cultivating a certain kind of relationship with this person. I mean, I want to talk
also,
a little.
Yeah, when you talk about purpose, that's another thing that's very important. What is the purpose of the relationship? A lot of people go into relationships because the purpose of them is, again, like I said before, self-fulfilling. They place God with a relationship. In other words, they say they trust God, but what they really want is a relationship with a person. So when you put a relationship before God, then God is pushed out. And he's not going to let anything come before him. And what I've found a lot of times is a lot of people seek relationships over God or in place of God.
Yes.
And that's why a lot of people have a lot of difficulty and they're not satisfied and they're not fulfilled, because the purpose of the relationship is not to glorify God, but to replace him.
And see, and that's the danger. And when you have everything lined up, I believe that all these pieces in your life, like for the different aspects of your life, the right person in your life, I mean the right job and the money and all of these things, they're supposed to add on to your life. They're not supposed to, like you said, replace God. The thing is that God gives us these things to bring glory to him, not to take the place of him. So we need to make sure that our priorities are in line with God's. And we need to always be examining the relationship. Does this relationship bring me closer to God? You know, does this challenge me in the areas where I need to come up? I mean, things of that nature. I mean, what do you have to say concerning that? Like, you know, these purposeful relationships, these, you know, that serve a higher good.
Again, a person has to be true to themselves. They have to ask themselves, why do I want this? Again, the answer should, a lot of times, if you're really honest with yourself, you really want to fulfill your own needs. In other words, that's what you're supposed to have done with Christ. You should be working on your relationship with Christ first and allowing him to fulfill your needs. And when the time comes, he'll send the right person to you, which you can be now ministered to. Because, again, a relationship is not about being ministered to, but ministering to someone else. So therefore, if your relationship with God is on the right foundation, he's ministering to you. And then he allows you, once you get to that place where you're secure and you're strong in him, to be able to be a minister unto somebody else. So but a lot of people, what they do is they want to be ministered to. So therefore, they say, Lord, send me a husband, send me a wife. And really, if they really look at it, they want somebody to hold hands with, somebody to have conversation with, somebody to do all these things that, I'm not going to say it's not of God, but the purpose in it is yourself. So when you're seeking to fulfill yourself, that's going to delay somebody coming into your life because you're not really at that point, at a place where you can do that. And what it's just like almost like when Israel asked for their king, and God told them what a king was going to do to them. Well, see, God was their king, and what they wanted a man that they could physically see. And that's what a lot of people do. God is telling you, look, right now you're not ready for a relationship. If you go into a relationship now, you're going to be this and this is going to happen. But people say, oh, no, Lord, I want a relationship. But God says, seeing how you want to displace me and have this relationship before me, I'll allow you to go into it, and then you get all kinds of drama and pain and heartache. And he said, well, see, I told you this is what a relationship would do for you. But if you wait for the right time, God has somebody for you. So if you cultivate the relationship with him, when he gives you somebody, he'll give you a David, somebody that's going to be a good king, or somebody that's going to be a good partner in a relationship.
Exactly. But, you know, it also brings me back to the importance of getting with the right person, being in tune with the Spirit of God so that we choose correctly, that we hear God, because, you know, I remember hearing a song, and the gentleman said he knows that he's going to need Coretta Scott if he's going to be king. And, you know, that's powerful, because this was a worldly song, but yet that said volumes. I said, wow, this young man has some wisdom, you know, because he knew he couldn't just get with anybody and be king, live out his fullest potential. And that's another thing that we need to learn in the body of Christ. We just can't go around just picking anybody and saying, okay, God bless this now. We need to know how to wait on God, how to seek God first, know what his purpose is for our lives, because then and only then will we best know what kind of person that we can even, that will be able to harmonize with us the best. Amen?
Amen. Again, you're speaking about criteria. If you're talking about purpose, if you know the purpose of the thing, you know how to choose wisely. But if your criteria is to fill yourself, you're going to choose based on that criteria. And again, the criteria that you use is going to determine who you choose.
Exactly. And see, that tells me that, that goes into the maturity piece. Because as you know, I often state that marriage, it takes, you know, two spiritually and emotionally mature individuals to have the kind of marriage, or should I say to cultivate the kind of marriage that God intended. Because if I'm not healthy, you know, they say sick, hurt people hurt people, you know. So the thing is that I be healed so that I come into the relationship as a healed individual. Therefore, the person will not get pricked from loving me. But if I'm coming to the relationship looking for the person to define, validate, and affirm me, then I'm setting myself up for disaster, because God would want to have already done that. This way, when he presents me, he's presenting the whole Renee. You understand? And when he connects me with someone, we would complement one another, you know, we won't be strong in the same areas, but he would be strong where I'm weak and vice versa. So that when we come together, we would both have to truly lean and depend on the Holy Spirit in order to cause our differences to complement. Because without God, the differences that should be complementary would cause us to clash, you know. But with the Holy Spirit, through dying to yourself, but this is my way and this is the way I'm used to doing things and I'm accustomed to this, but learning how to say, well, maybe there's another way. Maybe I should take that into consideration. I mean, it takes a level of maturity. Do you agree?
Yes, and that's where the healthy comes into the relationship. Healthy means spiritually healthy.
Yes.
Because if your spiritual health is not intact, then your natural relationship is going to perish. So a healthy relationship is like kind of two sides of a coin. The healthy is in your relationship with Christ.
Amen.
And the relationship that you're going to have with your significant other, or in the natural, the health is in the spirit. It's not about your health or your physical health or whether your mentality. It's about your spirit. Is your spirit healthy? Is your spirit mature? Is your spirit able to go through hard times and rough times and be able to survive? Or if you're not mature in the spirit, what happens is you start noticing that my needs are not being met. And once you start noticing that, that's when your relationship is becoming unhealthy. Because once you notice that, again, the flesh, the law of flesh is self first.
Preservation.
The law of the spirit is God first, or others first. And what happens when once you find yourself, I'm not getting my needs met, then that becomes your focus. Oh, I'm not getting this, and you magnify that. And then
yes.
you become king of that relationship, where God is supposed to be king of that relationship. Your purpose in a relationship is to serve the other person. Now,
Amen.
Not to say that you don't have needs, but God
That's
knows what your needs are, and he works into by the other person to meet those needs, or he might choose to do it himself. But you cannot focus on you.
Yes, and you know what I realize is that also in that is learning to when your needs are not getting met from that person, that your relationship with God would be so because you found this out before you got with this person, that, hey, God is my covering. He's more than enough. He's really all I need, for real. Like, God and I are a majority. And when we really get that in our spirit, like, me and God are a majority. So, therefore, you understand, whatever I need, he possesses that. And when I can really receive that in my spirit, then when he sends that someone, then he's able to send that someone because that someone would not serve to substitute for him. You understand what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
I know that when that person is tired because they're still human, you know, they're not in the spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, what do I do when I want to communicate? But maybe that person is tired. Maybe that person had a rough day, but I'm all full of joy. If I don't know how to go to God and get ministered to, I'm in trouble. Because then I'm like, he's and this, that, and the third, and blah, blah, blah. You follow what I'm saying? I wouldn't be able, you know, that would actually serve as a distraction. It would mess up my whole relationship because now I'm looking to the person. But when you really know how to go to God to get your needs met, so even when that person falls, you know how to minister grace so that you're not taking it out on them because they weren't there for you yesterday. And then you start to understand priorities, like, I'm important to this person, but I understand that this person is on assignment. And so even though it may look like somebody else is beating my time, that person is on assignment. They're doing what God wants them to do. So when they have time, when God allows them to make time for me, it's going to be extra good because they did put God first. I find when you're not in a healthy relationship, everything becomes around that person. Everything is centered around that person. You don't have no other life but that person. What do you have to say about that?
Well, it also goes back to one of the principles of a healthy relationship, which is reciprocity. Being
mm-hmm.
able to receive what you need when you need it and be able to give what you need to give when you need to give it. I mean, if you come in and you're elated and you have something to share and the other person's not in the mood or whatever, then that's when you're supposed to, that's the process you're supposed to kick in, then you begin to minister to that person. It's not all about you, what you want. If you see this
exactly.
person's lacking, you're there to be a help me. In other words, this person's lacking right now. This person's not able to have a conversation or whatever it is. Then you're supposed to go into ministry mode. It's not
yeah,
about,
exactly.
well, you're not talking to me, I need to talk. If you see that there's something lacking, then you go into ministry mode and you begin to minister to that person. And by you ministering to that person, they're going to automatically come back with, because they've just received, they've had their needs met and through by you. The reciprocity is they're going to turn around and reciprocate and meet your needs. Now, it may not be at that particular time.
Exactly.
It may be at another time. But because
exactly.
you press their buttons and brought them up, you took the time out to minister to them and make them the priority. Minister to them, and then after a while, when they get strong, they're going to turn back about and minister to you. And that's
and you
how
know,
it's supposed to flow. So it's not about what I need
yes.
right now. It's about what the other person needs. And if you're in the right relationship, then
yes.
you can sense that, and that person should be able to minister to you. But if that doesn't happen, again, maybe that person's not spiritually where they need to be, don't worry about it. Just pray.
That's
because
right.
then God will kick in and minister to you. And then begin to minister to that person and bring you on the right way where you can be reciprocal.
Exactly. And you know what? You made such a powerful point. You brought me back to something I forgot. The power of knowing the Word of God and really, really understanding the God that we serve through relationship, you know that whatever you put out there has got to come back. So even though it may look like today, like I'm doing all the sowing, oh, tomorrow is going to come. And according to the word, you can't put anything out there and have it not come back to you. So just knowing that, and on, you know, that you're on purpose, you serve a purpose, it's going to come back. You're not even so much as like, oh, when is my turn going to come? You just know. You do what you do on purpose. It's like a garden. You have to cultivate it. You have to work through the weeds and things of that nature. But the bottom line is that if you do it right and you tend that garden, oh, it's going to give you a harvest, you know. And so the whole thing in relationships is really about the maturity, having that relationship with Christ, allowing him to develop us, you know, that we can mature, be mature Christians, that we're not always needing somebody to lick a wound, that we, you know, we're coming to him, you know, and we're receiving our wholeness. And when he puts us with someone, you know, those areas that still need to be healed, God can use the people in our life to bring forth that healing. And it's just like, it's incredible, you know, when you look at it. But the thing is, like I always state, every relationship is going to go through the storm. But what determines whether you're going to come out on top and this storm actually cause your relationship to flourish or not is determined upon the foundation in which it was built. It doesn't say that because the relationship is on the foundation, the right foundation, you're not going to go through things. I really know that you're going to go through things, but it's the enemy is wanting those things to destroy it. But by you being two mature adults, you able to bring that hurt and everything else out into the open. The enemy strives, thrives on the secrecy. You know, no, I'm not going to tell him this. I'm not going to tell him that hurt me. I'm not going to tell her this, and I'm going to keep this in, and da-da-da-da. And meanwhile, the enemy is talking to you and talking to that person, and the relationship is just strained. Whereas God wants to expose that through the Holy Spirit, where you guys are mature enough to say, this is what the issue is. And when you begin to deal with that issue, my God, something beautiful can truly unfold to the glory of God, because other people really would look on, and the spectators, they really would look on and bring glory to God, because that is what cultivating a healthy relationship is really all about. Not that you don't go through the things, because you're going to go through them, but the things that you go through, if you trust in God, it's going to cause the roots of that relationship to go down deep. You understand? So it can weather any storm, but it is still going to go through the storm. Amen?
Amen. And also, I look at this thing about cultivating a healthy relationship. And again, that's one of the key words, is that you're cultivating this.
Yes,
now, cultivating
yes.
means that there's going to be some work involved.
Now,
yes. there's two types of labor that you can put into a relationship. One type of
yes.
labor is the worker, and the other type
yes.
of labor is the servant. Now, if you look at the difference between a laborer, other a worker, and a servant, a worker expects something in return. A worker has, you know, when you think about your own self as a worker at your workplace. You go to work, you expect to get certain things, you expect to have certain things in place, you expect your needs to be met. When you go
yeah.
on, you have a certain list of things that you have that must meet your needs in order for you to function in that workplace. But a servant, on the other hand, a servant doesn't have a choice. A servant
Amen.
Is there to pick up things, good or bad, whatever happens, that servant is there. Because the servant is there, again, not by choice, but because that's his role. That's where he's been assigned. He's been assigned this master. So therefore, you're down for whatever. And a lot of us go into a relationship as a worker. We look, I put my time in and keeping track of, you know, keeping time sheets and keeping records of what you did and what you didn't do and what I gave and when I didn't give. So therefore, you expecting something at the end of the day. I want this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't get it, that's when you want to quit. Oh, I'm out of this relationship. Forget about God put us together and all this other stuff. You're a worker. You're in it for self. You're there to
exactly.
At the end of the day, I want X. And if I don't get X, well, I quit. I'm going to find another job or another relationship. But the servant, like I said, they're there for the long haul. They know their role. Their role is the other person. The master
and
is the one that we're here for. And whatever happens, I'm here for. But see, again, in this day and time, it's all about self and this worldly system. We bring that into our Christian relationship and wonder why we have such a high divorce rate.
Right, and I think that the key thing in that, in what you just said, one of the things that just really just screams out at me is that you have to be certain that, you know, this, once you know that this relationship is purposed toward God, see, that's like so key. When we're not sure and we're like, I don't know, then you can approach it like that, you know. And let me just go on to say this too. If we're in a state of immaturity and we need to kind of grow up a little bit more spiritually, yes, that's how we look at it. I'm like, oh, really? You know, but as we begin to grow in the knowledge of God and really start applying His word to our lives, we know we can't just go around cutting off people. You begin to notice those in whom you are connected. You didn't connect yourself. And those relationships serve a purpose. And I believe that when you disconnect from purpose, you not only mess your own destiny up, but you mess other people's destiny up. You got off track. You cause other people to get off track. Who's going to fill in for you while you're missing? You know? So it's important that, A, that we know, okay, this is a relationship that is purposed, you know, by God. You understand? It doesn't matter the end result. We just know the fact that, okay, this is God, so as long as I got that check in my spirit that this is God, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do what I need to do. I don't want to do anything that would strain the relationship, but even if I do, I want to be able to go to that person and ask for forgiveness and know that they are willing to forgive me. But that's got to do with their level of maturity. I just want to make sure that I'm in a place that even if I drop it, that, A, I can go and ask for forgiveness. You understanding that I don't hold grudges, and it means more to me that the fellowship be restored rather than the fact that I'm right and he owes me an apology. And until I get an apology, I'm not even talking to him anymore. You follow what I'm saying? See, that's immaturity, and that's somebody that is in the flesh, you know. And the more, and it's not, and I, just so no one gets, you know, is misleading, I want to state that it's not that when you're in a healthy relationship, you're not looking at what you can get out of the relationship, but that's just not your focus. That's not, you know, the primary thing. You are looking to how can I add value to this person's life? How can I be a blessing to this person? I mean, sometimes you can wake up, you know, and just think about that person, like what you want to do for that person that would be a blessing. It's coming from your heart. And I believe that God puts those things in there. You know what I mean? He allows you to be.
But doesn't the fact that you're ministering to another person, shouldn't that energize you? Shouldn't that be enough?
Yes. Yes.
And that's why I say a lot of times, if I would say that the people that are listening to this, if you think about, keep thinking about, well, what am I getting out of it, then your focus is messed up, and it's going to be very hard to have a healthy relationship.
Yes.
If you have to understand that your joy is in serving. If you're not getting joy out of serving, then most likely you're with the wrong person, because that's how the relationship is set up. By your ministering, you're drawing strength from that ministry, because it's a joy to be able to meet the needs of another person, if you're healthy. And by you doing that, you are strengthening yourself. You're feeling good. It's not like I'm giving out, oh, now I need something. No, you're giving out, and you're getting back by your giving out. We're not talking about the other person now. That other person has not even begun to minister yet. I'm talking about in your serving this other person that's in your life. You're ministering to them. You are growing strong. And so there's no such thing as, well, where am I going to get mine? You're getting yours. Every time you give, you get something back. And when you give, it's going to be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken forth, you know, and running over. Good measure.
That's why.
God gives it back to you in through by the Spirit. So I just want to make sure that if a person saying, yeah, I hate all this giving, but when I'm out, that means you're going into it, you're not ready yet.
Yes.
Because if your focus is always on it, keeps coming back in your mind, what am I getting? What am I getting? Because in your giving, you're going to be getting. You're going to be so busy getting from that.
Yes.
That's going to be enough. Now, when the other person comes, it's going to be extra.
That's right. And that's exactly right. And, you know, I'm someone that spent many years in unhealthy relationships, and I definitely know the difference between what's purpose, you know, and of from God and what's not of God. Because one, you know, one refreshes me, energizes me. You follow what I'm saying? The other one is draining and depleting, and it just gives, and it can never give back. You follow what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I began to realize that I was in the wrong, I want to say the wrong vineyard. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I have to make sure that even as a woman of God, that I'm sowing in the right garden. You know what I mean? That I'm definitely on assignment, and that I don't put myself in situations that God never designed for me to be in, you know?
Mm.
And so I think that that's very, you know, that's vitally important.
And again, if you start out on the wrong foot, you can't grow. You can't get what we're talking about right here. This has to be on a sure footing. Because
yes.
Again, if your whole idea and your whole the essence of your whole desire to have a relationship is fleshly and worldly, then the fruit of that is not going to be what we're talking about. You
yes.
have to be in the healthy in the sense of knowing who you are, and there's got to be a purpose for this.
Yes,
not just
and
you decide because you're 40 something years old or you're a certain age or you feel like you deserve. When it's
yes.
all about you, it's not going to work, because that
exactly.
means that God is not first. God is the one that has to put this in your spirit, that this person in your life is somebody that you should have a relationship with. This can't be because this person looks good or this person you
that's
know, is
right.
cute or has a certain kind of income. Therefore, you yes. take it upon yourself and say, I'm going to have a relationship with this person. It's going to be healthy. No, it's
right.
got the wrong criteria.
Exactly. And not that those things are bad in and of themselves. They just will never work as a primary criteria. Primary
mm-hmm.
criteria meaning that's what I'm going to base who I'm going to marry upon, what kind of job they have, what type of shape they have, male or female, you know, what is their educational background and all this other stuff. That's fine as secondary criteria. But the main criteria, the primary, are they in Christ, rooted and grounded, and do they know who they are? Because until they know who they are, how will they ever know where they fit in? You know what I mean? For real.
And the same thing with that criteria. One thing I can say about the criteria that you use to choose a person or a mate
yes.
is, again, you got to know how the devil operates. Devil operates in, you know, shininess, brightness. Remember, he's an
yes.
angel of light. So therefore,
yes.
the things that fascinate and like, ooh, and then you go, ah, and you have your eyes all bugging out, your tongue hanging out, most likely that's not of God.
Amen.
But God is subtle. God will come with things that you go, ooh, what is that? And
amen.
You won't even notice it. It's so subtle that it just touches, like Jesus when the woman with the issue of blood touched him. He said, who touched me? You know,
yes,
in other words,
yes.
you felt something, you know, and
exactly.
it was subtle. It wasn't like, you know, whoa, what was that, you know, but it was
exactly.
subtle. And the same thing with us when we choose. It's like, is this person's character moving us, or is this person bling-bling moving us? And that's
exactly.
the devil. Anything that's shiny and loud and make you just, you know, get your attention right away, something's wrong with that. Because like I said, God operates in the subtleties of things. It's like, you're like, there's
yes.
something about that person. That person just got some. I don't know what it is. But
right.
the devil, you know what it is. You're like, yeah, I know that's just the God over there that I want. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And you have to be ever so careful. And that's why it's important that we cultivate our relationship with God, and we have to know how God speaks to us. He does not speak to our flesh. He speaks to our spirit. You know, he really does, and it's going to line up with his word, you understand? And then, you know, it's just so important that we, you know, that we know him, you know, because when we know him, we begin to know his handwriting on everything in our lives. I'll give you an example. When I was getting ready to move, because, you know, I just moved, and the thing is that I had wanted to move a long time ago, and I had even attempted to move, but it just wasn't time. So I settled for, well, I'm going to just wait, you know, until things are better, you know. I'm just going to stay here, whatever, whatever. But at this particular time, this was a God thing, but I didn't know. And it dawned on me, oh, this is God. He's saying, go ahead, I'm opening a door for you to move. You see what I'm saying? But he had to do that. You know, and I believe that that's the same way it will be with the spouse. Like, in other words, you know, I'm content being, you know, I'm all right with me and God and my children right now. He's teaching me how to really embrace life and live life, even as a single woman. And you're not sitting there, oh, I wonder when he's coming. And that's another point that I wanted to make. So many people that I speak with, you know, women in particular, you know, it's like their life is on hold until Boaz shows up, or Adam, whichever one you want to call him. And the thing is that you should be so, your life should be so rich that you're not really noticing that he's not there, because you know what I mean?
Because you have something to give.
If
you have nothing, you're going to notice it.
And the thing about it is that so many times when we have relationships, like I said, and they're not healthy, and your God is not the foundation, and you don't even know God, you are looking for that person for everything. And so therefore, like, when that person has to do something, that person is not available to be with you today. Oh, you get bent out of shape, and you're pulling your hair out. And the thing about it is, this is how I know when a relationship is of God. I could go to sleep at night. So what I didn't hear from them. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you don't, your mind just don't go to things that it go to when you in these worldly relationships. You follow the saying? You learn how to get through the day. You're going to be all right. You understand that you're not holding that person hostage. You don't feel like it's mandatory that they call me every day. It's mandatory that I see them every day. You don't feel like that. It's like it's a healthy. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a need.
You have to be taught, again, a different criteria for choosing. That's what it boils down to. Because if you're not, don't take time with God to learn a different criteria, let him teach you in the right way that you should choose, you're going to be using your old nature to choose. Again, what feels good, what looks good, but like I said, the subtlety of God teaching you how to choose, teaching you how to choose quality over quantity. Teaching you what things are quality, what things are spiritual things, character, things like that. These are the things that God teaches us the value. And like I said, purpose, ministry. These are the criteria that God uses to assess whether a person is good for you or not good for you. But see, again, if we don't allow God to take out our old nature, and that's what the time spent. A lot of people, they're 40, 50, 60 years old, and they've been alone so long because they refuse to give up that old way of thinking. God is trying to teach them. Like, he took the children of Israel out in the wilderness for 40 years. He was trying to get Egypt out of them.
Exactly. And a lot of us, you know, he gave me a revelation, and a lot of us are still single because he's trying to get the old mindset out of us, how we choose. We're in the kingdom of God now, trying to apply the same worldly principles. You know, we have the same principle. He has to look like this and all of that kind of stuff. That's why we get in trouble. And we really, the emphasis is not on whether or not they save. Matter of fact, they could just go to church. We're not in our hearts now. We're not really concerned that they be sold out and that they know purpose and all that, because we're just looking at the wrapping, should I say, or you know what I'm saying? And that's why many marriages are ending in divorce, because they married an image. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They married an image, men as well as women. You thought that because he had this job, it meant this. No, it doesn't mean that. You understand what I'm saying? Or you thought, I mean, so many things, like, I mean, my goodness, like, we have to really learn how to walk and be led by the Spirit of God, because, like you were talking about the enemy, he is deceptive. This over here could look better any day when I'm looking with my natural eye, like, oh, this is this and this is that. And I mean, the enemy will send somebody to support you in different ways to make it seem like, well, he could work, but can he really? When your back gets up against the wall, you don't want it. Somebody saying it's going to be okay and you're going to be okay from a natural standpoint, but have no spiritual grounds to tell you this, versus somebody that's spiritual telling you it's okay, it's two different things. When a natural man tell me things are going to be okay, those are empty words to me. You understand? But when a spiritual brother tell me it's going to be okay, that speaks volumes to my spirit. Because you know the word says deep, call unto deep. You know, without no spirit, you have no depth. You can't minister to me. What you're saying is not even, it's doing nothing. It's like, shut up. You just wishful thinking. I don't need that. I need to know, what is God saying? You know what I'm saying? So this way, when you say you're going to be okay, you know, all is going to, this is working together for your good. I know that it doesn't appear that way. I can receive that. But I can't receive that from a natural man, because a natural man can't even receive that. They only, they are limited by what they see. Amen?
Amen.
So, So every Thursday, I'm going to be, you know, talking on relationships, about relationships, God's way. We have 11 minutes remaining. You know, would you like to say something else?
Like I said, basically just to wrap and recap, is basically we have to remember that these relationships with our with our service, we have to understand our role. We have to understand what role we play here. But again, a lot of times, if we continue to keep the world's mindset, then we're not going to be able to understand the role that we play. We're here to minister, to service.
Yeah.
And there's different types of service. When you talk about a servant, there's servants to the body of Christ, there's servants that serve God, and there's service as far as ministering unto the world. And in our relationship, we are to minister to one another as the body of Christ. Because when we come together, we're no longer one, no longer two flesh. We'll become one. So therefore, our job is to minister and make sure that we're meeting the other person's need. Again, we're supposed to be helpmeets.
Right.
You know, I'm supposed to help them, and they're supposed to help me. So my focus is supposed to be on the other person. But again, we go in with a dependency, saying, I need my needs met. And that's a lot of times the number one reason why people even want a relationship. Because if you have contentment in Christ, it's God that's coming to you saying, I think it's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to send you somebody. But as long as you focus on, Lord, send the one, it's going to be a long wait. Because he's waiting
to
make
right.
him the one.
And see, that's just it. Like, and I go back to my desire to move. I wanted that so bad. You know, I would say maybe by the third year of living where I was living, I was ready to move. But it wasn't time for me to move. It wasn't, God didn't want me to move yet. But, you know, I'm learning how to just be led and controlled by him. You know what I mean? So that I'd be in the right place at the right time. But we have a caller on the air, and I see you, Evangelist Luisiano. God bless you. I'm getting ready to, I think this is you. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Lady Renee.
Yes, God bless you, Evangelist. How are you?
Good. I'm blessed by God. I'm sorry I came a little late. I was cut off, and my audio was gone.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, let me hear you through the phone.
Oh, my goodness. But you know what? I thank you for tuning in, and I pray to God that, you know, you have been really ministered to on tonight.
Amen, amen. About relationship. Amen.
Yes, yes. And I mean, because, you know, in this day and age, you know, the enemy, his deception tactics, he's getting worse with them. So we need to become wiser, you know, about the wiles of the enemy and how he'll use things that it looked like we should go this way, but it's so wrong. You know, why it's so very important that we stay in tune, you know, to the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen. I mean, you know, as the Bible declares, that what things that seems right to a man,
come on now,
that leads to destruction. So not everything we perceive, if it's not guided by the Holy Spirit and his personal interpretation or personal judgment,
yes,
that will lead to confusing. It leads for God not to receive the glory. But if it comes from God and you have God's word to back up, because God doesn't talk both sides of his mouth.
That's
he only
right.
speaks his word. So it has to be confirming with his word, because that's the only way it's going to bring deliverance and a season of blessing when God's word is spoken, and we be obedient to His word, even in the area of relationship.
Yes, yes. And you know, and that is so true, Evangelist. It is so true. We truly have to learn to heed what He is saying, that we begin to truly desire, we allow God to renew our minds, you know, where with the Word of God, where we're renewing our minds through His Word, where God's ways actually become our ways. Like, instead of us thinking the way we used to think about certain things, we don't even see it that way anymore. We see it from a higher level, you know, we even think on a higher level. And that's just it. It's like, it's so important. Like, the main thing is cultivating that relationship first with God and making sure you're being led and controlled by the Spirit of God. And one thing that I wanted to truly say is that as we continue to develop spiritually, you know, what happens is there are some confirmations that God sends us that you need to be sharp in your spirit to know that it's a confirmation, because we're living in a day and age where God desires for us to know Him. So we know Him when He speaks. He said, you know, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So we have to know God, and it's in the stillness, you know what I mean? Like, God will just give you some crazy instruction or whatever, and you just be like, it appears crazy, but you'll see the fruit. And sometimes you may not see the fruit right away. That's another thing. We can get discouraged if we look for everything not to appear naturally right away. Some things, as we're growing spiritually, God wants us to learn how to walk it out. You know what I'm saying? We have to walk it out. I don't feel nothing. It don't seem like it, but it is. You follow what I'm saying?
Amen, amen. You know, I mean, it's the problem that we have as not only believers, as humans, we resist God's way.
Yes.
You know? In Psalms 81, verse 10 and 12, it says, in NIV, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. But my people will not listen to me. Israel will not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts.
That's
to
right.
Follow their own desires. So, you
That's
know,
right.
I mean, God's calling us to obey Him, but if we don't want to obey Him and follow His words, then you know what? He takes His hand off for us and let us do our own devices, showing us that in there is no way out. We have to go out in every area of our life.
Yes, yes. And you know what? And I had to learn that lesson the hard way. You know,
well,
I personally had to learn that.
You're not by yourself on that.
I give this to you, Lord. I'm not trying to, you know what, Lord, I'm stupid. I don't even know. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even going to pretend to know now. You know what, God? I'm just going to commit everything unto you. I found that it's good. We could go to God with preferences and stuff, and, Lord, I would love for you to work this out this way and do it that way. But you know what? I've learned to say, you know what, Lord, these are just preferences. But you know what? I'm submitted to your will. You know, because He already took my highest and best into consideration. I'm limited by what I can see. I can't see tomorrow, but He can. Amen?
Amen.
So although this could look nice, you know what I'm saying? God, you really know what the deal is, you know, and your daughter has been hard-headed for a long time. So I want to do things right this time. I want to go on and see what the end's going to be. Amen? But I'm on top and not the bottom. Amen?
Amen. And that is true, because, I mean, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 and 24, it says, but I gave them this command, obey me and I will be their God and they will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may be go with you. But if you do not listen or pay attention, instead they follow the stubbornness and creation of their own evil hearts, and they went backwards and not forward. So the key thing is that, as you know, obey God. It'll be good for us if we obey God.
That's right. And it might seem sometimes that there's some suffering in that, but you got to understand that even in the suffering, it's good. Because I've gone through some things where I've cried and I was like, God, do you know what's happening to me? You know, I'm serious. I'm just being real. And I'm like, God. I mean, you said this, but this is happening. But you know what? I would hear him say, would you trust me? You know, would you trust me? Would you trust me? And I'm telling you, sometimes it would be some hard, hard places. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I thank God for his faithfulness, because what I've really come to know is that if God is allowing me to walk through this, I know that he has fully equipped me. Even though I don't feel equipped. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I need to continue to lean on him. I'm not equipped in and of myself, but I'm equipped. I'm fully equipped. During the times that I spent with God rejoicing and being all in that word and all of that, he was preparing me for that time when things was going to get hard. You understand what I'm saying? And see, whatever you made out of, it's going to come out of you in the storm. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Are you going to shrink? You know, and we all have our days where sometimes, woo, we get that fiery dart come and hit us, and we feel that thing. But thank God for the men and women of God who have been assigned to be a part of our lives that are there to encourage us. Amen?
Amen. Let me tell you, Lady Renee, I just came out of a 2-3 hour fast.
Okay, praise God.
Thank God. And I feel so spiritually. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes. You were breaking up for a minute.
What I was saying is that God, that today, you know, dedicated about 2-3 hour fast to the Lord. Because
yes. That's
the only way that things in our life could be broken, through prayer and fasting.
That's right.
And the Lord showed me something in Psalms 81, verse 13 and 14, that tells us that if we are his people, we need to listen to God and follow his ways. And he will quickly subdue our enemies and turn his hands against their devices.
Yes.
When we surrender and obey God and do what God calls us to do and follow his way, he promised two things. One, he is going to subdue. He will almost like paralyze our enemy, and not only that, his hand will be against not only our enemy, but any enemy that's going to come in the future. Why?
Yes.
Because you're walking his way. Like you mentioned, yes, it's hard walking God's way, especially you are not born with that.
Yes. This is not innate. It's not innate, but it's innate in our spirit, man. You know what I mean?
Because
the spirit is willing. But the flesh is weak.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
But you learn, hold on, but just like Jesus, we certainly learn obedience by the things that we suffer. Okay?
Yes.
Because I know some hard things I went through, it birthed some things in me that to you know, yes to God, yes to his way. You understand what I'm saying? So I just praise God. We're out of time. And Brother Steve, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me this evening. Thank you, Evangelist Luisiano, for calling in. And we'll be back by the grace of God next week, Thursday, continuing the segment, Relationships God's Way. Again, I am your host, Lady Renee. You can send your emails to sisterempoweringsisters@yahoo.com or either womendestined4, and that is the digit 4, greatness@yahoo.com. I would love to hear your comments. Amen. So until next week, you all be blessed, and remember that Jesus is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Brother Steve? Okay, Evangelist?